The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Welcome to the Federal Football Report, ladies and gentlemen, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website, federalnewsradio.com. It's a cool, chill, rather cold November in Washington, D.C. 38-30, the Washington Redskins lose to the Minnesota Vikings to fall to 4-5 on the season. We'll have a lot on the game coming up. But right now, happy Veterans Day. Well, it was Veterans Day weekend, obviously. Yep. The federal government celebrated or observed on Friday.
Right.
Saturday was actually Veterans Day, and then
right.
Sunday played football. Salute to vets all over the place, and happy Veterans Day to you, Kevin.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You don't have to thank me for my service. It was an honor. It was a privilege, and it was my duty. As a matter of fact, all of you all who hadn't been in the military, you should go enlist right now. Do your duty. That way you don't have to thank me. We'll all be even. The thing about it was, the Veterans Day tribute, as observed right now, I find it a little uncomfortable because if you look at the news coverage, mm-hmm. It's not about veterans. I mean, it's about like people currently serving who should be honored and recognized
right.
and appreciated all the time, right?
Right.
And then you see people laying wreaths at Arlington Cemetery, but they got Memorial Day. There's a day specifically for that.
You know, people get that mixed up a lot of times, because they also say, thanks, it's for your service. They'll talk about their cousin who's still alive and still serving on Memorial Day.
Right.
It's like, wait, that's November. Until Veterans Day. But, it also reminds me, my uncle Jimmy's birthday is on Veterans Day, and I forgot to call him.
Oh, man.
He's going to be upset.
Oh, man. Well, thank you for your service, Uncle Jimmy. Was he in the service?
No, he didn't serve his birthday. Okay. Just on Veterans Day.
Thank you for your birthday.
All right. So I've got to give him a call.
But you know what? There's a couple of things that bothered me, though. Mm-hmm. If you look around town, I know all around the country, some of my my veteran buddies were calling me and we were tweeting back and forth that a lot of restaurants will give you some freebies on Veterans Day if you serve, right? Yeah, like I got a free bowl of clam chowder at a local establishment.
Get out of here, really? A green turtle was doing the same thing. I love the green turtle.
I thought about it, and I was very appreciative. Thank you. I took it gladly, but then I said, man, 4 years of service and I get a bowl of soup.
But you get a bowl of soup every year.
Right. I don't want to be an ingrate, but considering what veterans do, and I can say this because I was a veteran, right? Mm-hmm. Considering that they actually, not every day, give their life for their country, but the possibility exists that any time they can be told just to go around the world and do whatever, right? Because that's the deal. You think maybe a bowl of soup isn't quite enough, right? So I'm encouraging all local merchants to do something for veterans. Like, hey, if you're like a haberdasher or something, give me a free suit. Not just me. I'm talking on behalf of all veterans.
Right.
Like, if you're a car dealer, right, it doesn't have to be a brand new car.
Just the car.
Just the car, right? Again, 4 years of my life.
Yeah.
I think it's worth much more than the car. And, I saw a Tesla outside that might be worth it, right?
Okay.
But, let's step up. If you really appreciate my service, show me.
Give me a car.
Yeah, not just me. I'm talking about on behalf of all veterans, right?
Now, is there, if suppose you were to get a car, would that deal be valid every year on Veterans Day? Like, you could swap it in for a new one? Or is it like, okay, at 4 year increments?
Well, Claude, that would depend on what you think your freedom is worth.
You make the call. Very interesting.
No, but seriously, let's step it up, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, we appreciate the meals and all that, but these guys, you don't understand what it's like to be a.
That's true.
I was a GI, government issue, Army, right? Mm-hmm. So let's step it up. I want not me. I won't even take mine, but I want to see some free suits next year. some free shoes, right? The meals are cool, right? We take those too, right? But let's step it up. If you really, really appreciate our service, let's show us.
All right, we'll show you. We'll show you. So anyway, thank you so much for your service. Kevin, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Veterans all over the place for your service. Now to the football. The Redskins lose 38-30 to drop to 4-5, a loss at home, FedEx Field, to the Minnesota Vikings. Let's just go right from the beginning, Kevin. When the game started, you're looking at things, it seems like, okay, offense is in rhythm. Defense didn't play up to the level they've been playing all year, but I mean, they've played great all year, and you know, not everybody plays great every single game, and so a little bit off on defense, but the rhythm or the pace of the game seemed early on to favor the Redskins.
Absolutely. It's like, you know, we were concerned about a letdown after the big win in Seattle, but early on they just took the opening kickoff and just on a great time-consuming, deliberate drive just went right down the field and scored. So we thought early that things were looking pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, again, back and forth scoring, but the Redskins up 17-14 at one point. Then things kind of got odd and
yes.
weird. So we're getting to, and this is where the game changed, I believe. And we talked about it a little bit before the show. I think you believe this as well. Late in the second quarter, right before the half, the Vikings score to go up 21-17. Redskins get the ball back late in the second half, about a minute 46 left, before the half. And again, Skins down 21-17. Kirk throws a pick. That changed the whole dynamic of the game.
Yes, yes.
It changed everything. Because, again, you got to remember, the Vikings get the ball back in the second half. Changed everything. So now the Vikings have the ball with a little bit under 140 left in the half. They score to go up 28-17. Then you go to the half. They've got the momentum. They come back, and they score right after the halftime to go up 35-17.
Well,
and the Redskins just could not recover.
Let's look at that. Look at why do you think that one play can just so severely change the momentum in the game, right?
What?
Mm-hmm. I think one thing is they were deep in their own territory.
Right.
Deep in
right.
their own territory.
Right.
And, you know, first and foremost, protecting the ball and your field position should have been the first thing on everybody's mind,
right.
including the quarterback.
Yeah.
And it just seems that it was an ill-advised pass.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just no need for that right there, especially in the position that they were in, and the running game was not like dominating, but it
right.
was working. Rob, P. Ryan, they were gaining yardage. Even Chris Thompson, the little guy who they run up the middle for some reason, you know, there was no need for that right then.
Yeah.
So that was rough.
And the sheer fact that both teams kind of going back and forth, there was no reason to think that the Vikings could stop the Redskins from what you saw up to that point.
Right.
You know, early in the game. And so you're looking at it and you're like, okay, no need. You want to push the envelope. You want to try to score, but no need to try to be risky. And yeah, ill advised. But now you're just giving the ball back to the Vikings. They go up 28-17. Then they come back. They get the ball. And they just basically, you know, run the ball down the throat. A couple of big third down passes. And they go up 35-17. And at that point, you feel as if the game is kind of out of hand. And it got that way quickly. When for most of the first half, it was an even game.
Yes, yes.
Almost, I would almost say almost in the Redskins' favor.
Now, granted, Case Keenum played the game of his career. Very, very emotional game for the Burgundy and Gold. I mean, for the Purple People Eaters, because Teddy Bridgewater was activated for the first time
mm-hmm.
since the horrific knee injury back in the summer of 2016. So he's on the sideline crying, you know, and
yeah.
Case Keenum was thinking, well, this is pretty much my last game.
No one was sure whether Teddy Bridgewater would even come back and be able to play.
Right, or walk.
Right. It was pretty gruesome.
So, yeah, it was great. It was great. I'm very happy for Teddy. But Case Keenum had pretty much the game of his life, aided by the Burgundy and Gold defense, because it seems like in their meetings, and I'm a big Greg Minuski fan, they seemed to not realize that Adam Thielen was on the Vikings. They must not have seen any of the film on this dude, and I saw it because I picked him up on my fantasy team, but
uh-huh.
but you know, it's just coincidence. I needed a receiver, you know, nothing personal.
And by the way, Case Keenum, 21 for 29, 304 yards, 4 touchdowns, and the 2 interceptions. It's a very Case Keenum, like, we'll get on those interceptions.
Yeah, let's hold off on that, because yes, that deserves like time on its own. But even with that, the Vikings tried to give the game and give opportunities
yeah.
to Burgundy and Gold mm-hmm. to come back and win this game. DJ Swearinger decided to single-handedly play defense, play all the defensive positions, and was not going to let this team go down without a fight. Right?
Yeah, I mean, late in the game, and even before you got, like, you didn't really feel like the game was out of reach. I mean, you know, like I said, when it was 35-17, it's like, okay, this is getting out of hand, and it got there quickly, but you had so much time left that it was like, okay, well, if they put some good drives together and get a couple of stops. And again, Case Keenum is playing quarterback, and so the game is never really secure if Case is your quarterback. They could come back, and that's exactly what we had talked about. But there were a couple of things that really kind of I guess, rubbed us the wrong way in the play calling. And I want to go through some of those. First of all, 35-17, Skins got the ball. It's first and goal. Three straight passes. Where's the running game? Any particular reason why you don't run the ball there?
If you don't have any running backs on your roster, you might not consider running there.
But if you have some, you would assume you'd right. run the ball there, right?
Even the announcers, I believe it was Charles Smith and I forget who the play-by-play guy's name was, they said that running, I mean, offensive linemen build their confidence by running the ball.
Right.
That's when they have an opportunity to push some guys around.
That would be Charles Davis and Kevin Burkhart.
On the yes.
Fox.
Right, thank you.
Pam Oliver doing sideline reporting.
Yeah, Pam Oliver has been downgraded to the D.C. game.
Well, we know what that's all about.
Yeah, how the mighty have fallen. Yes. Okay, well, you know.
Undeservedly so, because she's really good at what she does.
Yeah, I heard her say, though, Russ, right, because she realizes when she took over, when she got there, she was younger and prettier than the person she took the job from, right? Mm-hmm. So it gets caught up to her, right?
There you go.
Know? So if it's even, you know, fair exchange is never a robbery, like old dude always told me, right? Yeah. So, you gotta run the ball there. You gotta have, establish, you know, whatever. If you're gonna run the ball, that's when you need to run the ball in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, but it was kind of weird because the first, on first down, Dotson was open. He just slipped.
Yes.
And failed. The other two plays, I'm just not sure what they were like. Why wouldn't you run the ball there? But then, let's see, there was a third. It was with just over like 30 seconds left or fourth down. Third and one, with about 35 seconds or so left. And on the third down and the fourth down, you decide to run the ball. You don't get it. Why not just kick the field goal as opposed to going for it on fourth down when you're just down by 12, right? You would be just down 12 as opposed to 15. Like, why wouldn't you go for it as opposed to doing it? I didn't get that.
Yeah. Sometimes the math.
Why not kick the field goal?
Yeah, the mathematics of the situation sort of avoided me. Now, Jay Gruden has 20, 30 coaches on his roster, and some of them are just getting this ear and telling. But if you notice, you don't ever see him talking to anybody during the course of a game.
Right.
I don't know if they...
Maybe they're in his ear. Maybe they've got the...
Perhaps. If that thing is even on. he might just be doing it because the league told him he had to, right? You know, the contract with Telex or something, right? But someone should be telling him, hey, look, these are our options, right? You're first officer, so to speak. Captain, you can do X, Y, and Z, and here are the possible results of X, Y, and Z. But yeah, you had to score twice anyway. It doesn't matter which one comes first, right? So...
Right.
Yeah, I'd question that call, too.
And then all of a sudden, in a stroke of, I don't know whether you want to call it a miracle or whatever, but, well, I guess most of the game was a miracle for Case Keenum, but then he all of a sudden turned back to being Case Keenum.
It was a stroke of Case Keenum.
Two straight interceptions to DJ Swearinger, which seemingly would turn the tides of the game around.
Yes, and you have to wonder, we asked all these questions. We started to do the show live so we can just ask during the course of the game. With the success... that the Vikings had running the ball, they weren't breaking long yards, but they were breaking
pretty successful.
You know, if you run the ball 4 yards a pop, and you run the ball three straight times, that's 12 yards.
Latavius Murray, 17 carries for 68 yards. McKinnon had 10 carries for 32 yards. I mean, they were pretty successful running the ball.
Yeah, and at that point, when you have a 17-point lead, 15-point lead, anything, a double-digit lead, why is even throwing the ball an option?
When you have a double-digit lead. And Case Keenum's your quarterback.
Right.
You definitely should not be throwing the ball at all. You should be lucky that you're up by that much.
I'm not a gambler per se, right? You know, I don't know. I watch the poker things on TV, but it seems to me like once you get a certain amount of money, you can say, okay, that's it.
Yeah, I'm gonna quit while I'm ahead,
exactly. Right? You know, but maybe they were looking for the Case Keenum Hall of Fame Day or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. There's no reason in the world he should have thrown the ball in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
and that's what DJ Swearinger. We said earlier it was an insult to the Bergen Go defense.
Right, that they were even trying to throw the ball at that point.
And DJ Swearingen took it personally.
And
right,
he should have, because they're up about two scores, 15 points, and it's late or mid third quarter, and they're still passing the ball as opposed to running. That was borderline disrespectful, to the Redskins defense. Now, the Redskins get back into the game with a touchdown, so it's 35-27. The Vikings lost momentum. I noticed something they started to do. They started to pick up the pace. This is what's very interesting. They started running the ball more, but they didn't slow the pace down.
They
picked up the pace like what was successful for them earlier in the game, but they continued to run the ball to keep the clock going. And so I thought that that was kind of interesting, because just because you run the ball doesn't mean you have to slow things down. Like, if you're going to be successful, but the pace being picked up was successful as well, because you get into these all these strategies, especially on defense, where if you get a lead, all of a sudden you drop into this prevent when rushing five or rushing six is what got you that lead in the first place.
All
of a sudden, people change philosophies because they're winning. I thought that that was interesting to see that the Falcons went back to speeding things up because
Vikings,
because that's what made them successful.
You know your mind is, but
yeah, that was. It's so interesting to me that the same coaches who would call that are the same coaches that call the passing plays, right? It's like, you know, these guys are not geniuses, right? I don't know what it is, what philosophy, what it is that they're hoping to accomplish. But I would say if they stopped me on third down when I'm running the ball, fine, they stopped me. The clock is still running. I'll go a step further than this. When the Burgundy and Gold kicked that last field goal, they didn't have any timeouts left.
Right.
They didn't have any timeouts. They were stopped on an ill-advised third down run, which we'll talk about, you know, when you need one, why you had the guy 8 yards in the back, get the ball 6 yards.
Definitely want to talk about that.
Yeah. But the Vikings called a timeout with a minute and 20 seconds left.
Yeah, no, and that was really, really weird. Like, why in the world would they call a timeout? And not only why would they call a timeout, because it's not like it was fourth and one or fourth and inches and they need one score and you think that they could, you know, catch you off guard. It was fourth and like a ton because Kirk just took a long sack.
Right.
And it's going to be a 56-yard field goal. Why are you calling a timeout?
It makes no sense, but you know what? I'm sure Minnesota radio.
But Rose made it. I mean,
yeah. That's good. You know, he kept them in the game. I mean, Minnesota radio tonight, and I'm trying to get a hold of my friend Charles Halsman, who writes for the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder, and just to see what the thought philosophy is. Maybe we can get him on for next week. But there was just some strange calls, and maybe we can find out what the status is of Teddy Bridgewater. The debate, because of that fourth quarter, the Kingdom had, the debate still has to be open.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, they were saying during the broadcast that the head coach said it's Bridgewater's team. I mean, it's his position.
When he's ready
to go, it's going to be his. So Case knows that, okay, well, you know, whenever he's ready, I'm out.
Yeah. Well, when Sam Bradford comes to town next year, we can ask him how he felt doing all that.
But Sam Bradford's the quarterback for the Redskins.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Very interesting. And by the way, speaking of former Vikings playing for the Redskins, a former Redskin playing for the Vikings, Kyle Forbath puts the Vikings up by 11. And it was interesting because we were talking about it. I said, well, because the Redskins couldn't depend on him when he was here kicking, he's going to make this one for the Vikings.
Right. Still undependable. You cannot depend on this guy, right?
anything
that was one way or the other. Could I say, if the Burgundy and Gold are listening, Adam Thielen plays for the Vikings, right? You know, because he got like $100, $109.
Good night. Yeah, 8 receptions, 166 yards, 1 touchdown.
Yeah, maybe somebody could think about covering him, right?
Yeah, Stephon Diggs, 4 catches, 78 yards, 1 touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, again, a masterful performance by Case Keenum. Let's talk about those short situational runs that was very odd to Chris Thompson. I understand the first one. I'm trying to remember the drive. I believe it was in the third quarter, maybe late in the third quarter or the fourth quarter, and it was a third and one. And yeah, the Vikings weren't necessarily set, so I think the thought process was, let's hurry up, try to catch him off guard, run it up the middle. If it works, you're a genius, but it didn't work. So that one I don't really have any beef with, but the play after that, it was fourth and one. They had time to think about it. Chris Thompson's in the backfield, and they, like, it's not a pitch, but it's kind of a sweep out to the right side, outside the tackles. Why in the world, and you said this all the time, look, in school, math was not my strong subject. and you put this in a way that's easy to understand. You need 1 yard.
Right.
Why give it to the running back 6 yards in the backfield? Now he's got to pick up 7.
That's exactly right.
Let him get momentum, run him between the center and the guard, or the guard and the tackle, and give it to him 2 yards behind, or 3 yards behind, and let him just have to pick up 4.
Yeah, even
or 3, like one way or the other.
Even Captain Kirk on was it a sneak for a touchdown? I believe it was. Straight up the middle, right? You know, it's the shortest distance between 2 points is a straight line. You know, well, Federal Football Report, math report.
Right, exactly.
Yes. So
it's academic.
And Why you got the smallest running back on your team running between the tackles?
Right, with no lead block.
He cannot see anything. He can't see anything passing. His head is at the numbers of the offensive lineman. I do not understand that. He's a great talent. He's having a great year. But
a lot of questionable play calling.
That's not the guy you want, you know.
It's odd.
You know, you got Ryan Anderson out of Alabama as your fullback. Give him the ball.
Right. Yeah. No, you're right.
He's
and not 6 yards in the backfield.
Right.
You know,
right.
Let
him
build some momentum up. Push on that line.
That's what
you even sneak with Kirk Cousins. But a lot of questionable calls there.
A lot of questionable calls.
So you're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude. He's Kevin. We'll be back with more on this 38-30 loss at the hands of the Minnesota Vikings. We got, one of the best segments in media. All over the place.
That's right.
Coming up in the next segment.
Keenum or not Keenum?
Right. America wants this. Fake news or not is coming up next on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, the highly anticipated weekly show recapping the burgundy and gold. I mean, Kevin, the show.
I'm looking for it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, the boss asked me right in the middle of like February, right? In March. Hey, you guys doing a show this week? No, boss. There's no game.
Just during the football.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, but I understand, right? We don't just touch on football, man. We're a show about life.
Exactly. 38-30, the Redskins lose.
Speaking of life, I got to throw something out there. You know our good friend Rodney Henderson. Right, New York Giants insider, Giants fan.
He hasn't been texting much about this.
He was
season.
Supposed to be on the show today. He was scheduled, but then lo and behold, I look on Facebook and the day is his anniversary.
Wait a minute. Did he try to schedule himself on the show today?
No. I booked him. He said
He
said yeah.
Wait a minute. And so he either forgot that this was his anniversary.
I don't think so.
Or it didn't matter to him that today was the anniversary. He wanted to come on the program.
No, I think that he was looking at because it was his lovely wife. Because I've known his lovely wife. We used to be in a singing group together, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've known her long enough. I've known Rodney, right? Mm-hmm. So it was she that introduced me to Rodney and said, hey, he's such a great fan. Could you guys like give him the hookup, right? And we did, and we've been having fun with Rodney.
I love having Rodney on the show.
Yeah, but Rodney, you know, this would have been a great anniversary.
We had some great group texts with Rodney.
Yes, absolutely.
Really
funny. Rodney, you know, it's just so entertaining for us, right? I mean, the show is entertaining, but Rodney's involvement has just taken this thing to another level. So this would have been a great anniversary present for Rodney if you're listening, Kia. He didn't.
Right.
Anniversary present. So then I thought about it. I said, Rodney, this is your anniversary. Don't waste it spending time with us.
Don't come on this radio show.
Yeah, he laughingly agreed. Right?
Yeah. You know, are you guys sure? Because I'll do it.
Yeah. Right. So I just think sometime between then and the last week, when he must have said, I must be crazy. So no, Rodney, you're not crazy. You did the right thing. We're proud of you, brother. Happy birthday. Happy anniversary.
Happy birthday and happy anniversary.
Yeah,
and come on
on your birthday. Yeah, come on on your birthday.
Come on your birthday. We'll have you on the show. But happy anniversary and many, many more. So one of the segments we do on the show that's sweeping the nation,
everybody
looks forward to. Rodney loves this segment, and so does so many else. It's time for Fake News or Not.
It's time for Fake News or Not.
Exactly. Three statements I make to Kevin, and we discuss whether it's fake news or whether it's not fake news. Statement number one. Now, Kevin, this statement is different because I'm going to already set the stage that this is fake news, but I want you to comment on the fake news.
Okay, all right.
So just address this bit of fake news. One of the commentators, I think it was Charles Davis, said this during the game. He said that the large number of Viking fans in the stadium was unusual in Washington. We all know that's fake news.
That is so fake. And he just showed that he doesn't come to town that often. Right? does not have the DirecTV Sunday ticket and see the games, right? But there was our good friend Gary Big Time Braun tweeted a picture, and it was like a whole section.
Purple everywhere.
Just purple.
I remember a few years back, when this is when Brett Favre was playing with the Vikings.
Yes.
I remember I went to that game, and I was shocked at how many Vikings fans made it out to that game. It was so, and this never ceases to amaze me. Anytime that I go to a game, how many of the visiting team's fans are in the stands? What are we doing here?
Yeah, it's so strange. Back in the early 70s, being born and raised in D.C., I loved the Vikings, right? Like, the Burgundy and Gold was my team, right? If the two ever played, You know, I always root for the Burgundy and Gold.
Of course you did.
But I love the Vikings. I love Joe Capp and the Purple People Eaters and Gene Washington. You know, I just something about them, man. I just love the, like, the way they play, man, the ferocity, right? And Joe Capp was like a improviser, scrambling around, running around. You know, I love the Vikings. But there was no dispute where my loyalties lied, right?
Right.
You know, so all you people, I mean, we talk about them before some games. I guess we didn't get to them. That's just... A, why are you selling your tickets? You know, why are you buying them if you're going to sell them? Are you front runners, right? Is that what you're only going to come to the game if they're winning?
Well, see, here's the thing. I mean, if you're going to, we're going to do another segment, and maybe we'll start another feature, I should say, like fake news or not. But it's going to be called, if you're going to do that, then you might as well do this.
Yes,
and
exactly.
So when we talk about how ridiculous doing one thing is, and if you're going to do that, you might as well. If you're going to sell your tickets, if you're going to buy the tickets just to sell them, then sell them to Redskin fans.
You can,
like,
do it.
If you're going to sell them, don't sell them to Viking fans or whoever were playing that week. Somebody, like, if you, Kevin, I have season tickets. My friend Kevin Stanfield comes to me and says, hey, Packers are coming to town. I want to buy those tickets. Me, I should say, are you a Packers fan? Yes. No, I won't sell you these tickets. I'm going to sell them to a Redskin fan.
That's what a loyal fan would do, right? You know, if you're going to sell them, why buy them?
Right. I don't understand. Exactly.
Yeah. So Charles Davis, was it?
I think it was him. I don't think it was Kevin Burkhardt.
No, it was
Charles Davis.
It was Charles,
okay,
Charles Davis. Yes, obvious that, you know, definite fake news when he said that must not get to town too often.
Yeah, and it happens all the time here.
Yes.
Like, I mean, you know, it's in Pittsburgh here. Philadelphia, Dallas is here. Green Bay.
And you cannot name another team in this league that it happens to.
Right. Yeah.
This is no home field advantage.
Right. Yeah, none at all.
Isn't.
And it got to the point late in the game when fans were starting to filter out. And George Wallace, Redskins beat reporter for WTOP, made mention of this, that as Redskins fans were leaving the stadium, Vikings fans are sticking around. And you could literally hear chants on television from Vikings fans in the stadium because they were literally like some of the only ones left.
Plus the shots, there was a lot of TV shots of the Vikings fans. The seats were surprisingly close, right? Yeah. They had front row seats, you know. So all you farewell the Burgundy and Gold fans, now, you know, we're not rooting against the team. We're providing in-depth analysis here. But fans, you have a responsibility, right? You know, if you're just going to be entertained, why buy the tickets? Just sit at home. You can watch it on your mobile device, right? Certain people have the Sunday ticket, and you can just sit there, watch the Red Zone channel, eat nachos, man.
Exactly.
It was cold out there. Why go through all that?
Don't sell those tickets. Let's see. What else? The fake news or not? Question number two. Despite giving up 38 points, it was a great performance by the defense.
Oh, no. Fake news. Okay. Fake news. I don't know what was going on. Like I said, they were just introduced to Thielen after the game, right? It's obvious that number one, the guy he's fast. He's got great hands. Mm-hmm. He's big, and it's like they were surprised. They didn't, you know, maybe they just didn't think that they could match up to him one on one. The one deep pass he was thrown over the middle to him it was a blown assignment, which I have asked people and they haven't responded. D. Hall started the game,
right?
But he went out, and I have not found out why he went out. But safety let Thielen get behind him. If it wasn't for Josh Norman breaking from the outside, coming across the field, making a tackle, Thielen would have scored. So, no, they didn't play well at all. The linebackers were pretty much, except for Zach Brown, non-existent. Preston Smith got some pressure early, but I don't know. Compton, I heard, left with a foot injury. Did he come back? Where are the linebackers?
Yeah, no,
who
I mean, even last week where we had a great game by Anthony Lanier, you know, he didn't show up for, you know, for this week. Just interesting because, I mean, like, the defense has played very well for most of the year. Who would have thought that it would be, you know, Case Keenan that puts up these kind of numbers against the Redskins defense? They hadn't played this bad all year.
Did Kerrigan play today?
Yes, he did. He was actually held on a. There was one play, I'm trying to remember, where Case Keenan rolls out to the left, and it's an obvious hold, but they didn't call it.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of that, but you know, Junior Gallette was he?
Yeah, where was he? Right. Where was he? And again, you know, before the season started, you're looking forward to him having a big impact and making a difference because he sat out the last 2 years, and I just hadn't seen what folks were excited about before he hit the field once he got on it.
Do you get confused when you hear the name Brandon Banks and you think,
yes,
you think of, oh, little Brandon Banks,
yes,
and look at his defensive lineman?
Yes.
And say, how did he gain that much weight?
How did he get that much taller? Yeah.
So, no, the defense did not play a good game at all, as witnessed by You know, the only thing that's the only plus I would give the defense was Case Keenum.
Right. Yeah.
Winning score they had.
When it came down to it, when they needed the turnovers, DJ Swearinger got them. And, you know, look, at some point, sometimes you do want the offense to bail out a performance where the defense is not playing up to par. Yeah, you know, you would expect 30 points would be enough to beat a Case Keenan-led offense, and it wasn't. And that's clearly on the defense. Last question for fake news or not. The league allowing touchdown celebrations has not gotten out of control.
Oh, that's fake news. That's fake news. Because now these guys are just going to try to top one another. I mean,
right.
Okay, the sack race, I figured was pretty much the sack race when Kels and Kansas City did the sack race, right?
And thought that would probably be the biggest kind of sideshow.
But when the boys broke out with the leapfrog today, I said, okay. And it's gotten so far out of hand that you made a brilliant deduction. Someone somewhere, some marketing genius decided to sponsor the celebrations during the game.
It was unbelievable. We're sitting here watching the Redskins game on Fox, and we're coming back from halftime, and then they said, you know, here's the game celebrations brought to you by Pepsi. Like, of course some salesperson from Fox says, hey, since they're doing celebrations, why don't we package up celebration highlights throughout the game and we'll pitch it to a company and have them sponsor it.
That's
money,
right.
Money. Money talks. Straight cash, homie.
The team's gonna cut. You know, it's beautiful, right? The package grows. That's what it's all about. It's blatant capitalism.
Right. Exactly. So you're saying that it has gotten out of control.
It's gotten totally out of control because now it's gonna get worse and worse and worse. And can you imagine how awful the one is going to be that puts an end to it? Can you imagine? People say, oh my God.
Right. So, but I wonder after what you said, like, what else can you do? You know what I mean? Like the leapfrog, the sack race, like what else is there really? You know, that can involve multiple people. Like one person kind of dancing or doing like, I'm fine with that. But.
Well, you know what? Why don't you all hit us up on Twitter, at FF
Raptors? Yeah, that's a good question.
Some possibilities. I got some thoughts what I would do. I'd have the guy who scored the touchdown lay on the field with the ball, and I'd have the players come around him and like it's the EKG machine. They'll say, clear, and hit him. He jumps up, right? His body said to do it two or three times, then he jumps up and runs off the field.
Right.
I better not see that anywhere.
Royalty. You want royalty fees?
I better not see that anywhere. But yeah, hit us up at FF Rep. Let us know what you think the next touchdown celebration should be. Hopefully by the burgundy and gold, right? You know, the burgundy and gold maybe haven't been in the end zone that often, but they don't have anything creative like that. They're just happy to be there, like they've been there before, right?
No, we'll
see. I would have loved to have seen one today, a victory celebration today, right? Because they did have Case Keenum, and then the Vikings almost gave us another shot, right? Because before the field goal, the Vikings called timeout with a minute and a half left, mm-hmm. and the clock could have been down to a minute. What if they had gotten an onside kick, which was the weakest, weirdest onside kick?
Oh, goodness gracious, yeah. And I think we'll cover that a little bit when we do grades for each side of the ball. Yeah. It literally went 4 yards.
Really?
I mean, it was the most anticlimactic onside kick I've ever seen because you're anticipating it. Because who knows what could happen on an onside kick, right? Anything could happen. Then he kicks it, it goes 2 yards, it bounces, and then it goes another two, and then it kind of trails back, and you're like, ah. Oh, that's going out of bounds.
I've never seen a football go end over end and not bounce. It's
just
going to roll.
Just kind of roll.
Yeah, it's kind of roll.
It was not really designed to roll that way.
Yeah, then the announcer did say something funny. He said, well, maybe just left it all on the field doing that long field goal.
After that 56-yard field goal. Well, there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, another great edition of Fake News or Not on the Federal Football Report.
Or not.
Yes.
So wait a minute. I think we missed part of it, man. I got the news part. I didn't get the fake part.
There you go. There we go.
Or not.
We love that segment.
Yeah,
and we'll do some more stuff. Again, we got to find another way to bring this. If you're going to do that, you might as well do this. Maybe we'll introduce that next week. Before we go to the break, Kevin, real quick, let's go down some of the numbers with some players. You let me know what you think. Offensively, Kirk Cousins, 26 for 45. That's a lot of passes. 327 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Standouts from the offense.
Let's say that again.
26 for 45.
Another passes, like you said.
A lot of passes. 327
yards. 327
mm-hmm. yards.
So here's the thing, man. The Kirk Cousins apologists are going to add that up toward the end of the season. Well, he passed for almost 4,000 yards.
And see, that's a good. What you're about to make is a really good point. Go ahead. Go right ahead with this.
Yeah, because a lot of these passes, he'll throw 2 yards and the guy will run 40, right? Or they mop up, or it's the ones that he misses that bothers me so much, right? You know, because, you know, when you need last week. Can't take that away from him. It wasn't really a 2-minute drill. He threw two passes. One guy was wide open. Uh-huh. Other guy made a circus catch. Right.
Which is good. He's the athlete. That's what you pay him to do.
Right. Extended the ball. But there was a couple of cases today where we looked at the ball. Now, there was the unfortunate trip. Now, with Dotson, where he faked the guy out of his shoes pretty much and just stumbled, right? And that FedEx Field has been known to do that to people. Yeah. That FedEx Field has been known to reach up and grab people. There were some players once, some team, I forget, refused to play on the field. I mean, of course they played because they paid them a whole lot of money, right? You know. So, yeah, Dotson slipped. I'm not going to put it past him, right? You know, I'm not going to say that he did not slip, right? But that ball didn't slip out of Kirk's hand when he threw it high. You're throwing it high for a guy who's 5'10", right? You know, you know, if it's Vernon Davis or if one of your 6'4 receivers, yeah, you can throw it high. But yeah, but there was a couple of times that if timing was right, and he had thrown the ball right, like the long pass over the middle of Dotson.
Yeah.
That would have been a touchdown if he had thrown it 2 seconds. Yeah, 2 seconds earlier, right?
He was laying on that one, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll show in the stats, especially at the end of the year. A lot of yards that Kirk is strong, right? It's good. It's good for his stats, for his wallet, but victory I would take. Let me give you a perfect example. Last I checked, the Saints were up there. They won like at least 40-3 or something like that. The Saints went on a 10-play drive. And Drew Brees didn't throw the ball at all.
And this is a team that heavily relies on Drew Brees.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. But you know, there's other ways of winning, right? You know, so I think they won the game. They scored, like, at one point they had like 30 some odd points on the board, and Brees had thrown for 190 yards, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not about the numbers. And remember that when contract negotiations come around, Captain Kirk,
it's not about the numbers. Now, other standouts, though, from the game, you had Jameson Crowder with 4 catches, 76 yards. Vernon Davis, again, another big game, 7 catches, 76 yards. A great catch by Harris for that first touchdown.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, again, you talk about trying to get someone, get, you know, your athletes making plays and making something happen. He made that happen with that touchdown.
Absolutely.
And the stay in bounds was just amazing.
Captain Kirk got all the credit. What a throw by Kirk, I heard the guy say, right? What a throw. The guy had to reach out. He had to be ODB-esque, if there's such a word, right?
And he did.
Right.
Good to have some of the guys back on the offensive line. You could tell the difference there.
Hold on a minute. Mm-hmm. If you're Harris, don't you go to the sideline and say, Coach, throw me every single pass.
Yeah, throw me the ball more. I mean, he's had a pretty decent year. I mean, you know, he's shown that he can make some plays. I'm not sure if the team has its, like, pecking order regarding receivers together, right? Like, I mean, like, you start the season wanting Terrell Pryor to be your number one. I'm not sure, and you talked about this 2 weeks ago, why wouldn't, given what you've seen on the team and who you have and who's been with you, why wouldn't Crowder be like the number one option? Why wouldn't Vernon Davis also be one of the like, they've evolved into now all of a sudden it's Dotson, Crowder, you know, but why wouldn't it be, you know, Crowder, Grant earlier in the season?
Well,
Davis, like, I don't get the mindset behind having, Pryor being the number one right out the gate.
It's obvious that the guys don't earn their position. Mm-hmm. It's like they're penciled in and that's the position they're going to play because it should work itself out during all the mini camps and the OTAs and all that and summer camp and all that. That's when it should work out. The best performer should, you know, be the number one guy. And it has to mentally work on a guy because he said, no, it doesn't matter how good I am. If they want this guy to play,
he's going to play, right? And how does Crowder feel about that? I mean, like, he had a really good season last season. The top two receivers are out of here. One guy was hurt all year who you drafted to be, you know, one of your playmakers. And so, okay, I kind of get that. Then you bring a guy in who's been playing quarterback 3 years ago. And now he's still the third option. Like, he's got to be, what in the world, you know, what incentive do you have to succeed if success is not, you know, celebrated or rewarded?
Right. That's right. Absolutely right.
So also we're looking down to the defense, big game from DJ Swanger. I mean, you know, you talk about him also, 2 interceptions, 3 tackles, big game from him. Also Zach Brown, 5 tackles, Josh Norman, a couple of tackles that you wish he would have made. I can't really blame him for him though, but 7 tackles on the day. He did have a couple of passes, a couple of receivers that kind of got past him to make a couple third down conversions and that one touchdown. But at the same time, when you play that aggressive, these guys are pros as well. They're going to beat you sometimes, you know.
Once you see a guy having a performance like Thielen had, again, thank you, my fantasy team, at some point, don't you just say, okay, Josh, just go lock that guy down. I mean, you know, that's what you do in basketball all the time, right?
Well, that's what you do in street ball, too. Somebody's beating your guy, say, hey, I'm going to check him.
Yeah.
And you get someone to shut the other guy down.
That's overly simplistic, but it should work.
Right, right. One would assume that.
Most reasonably thinking people would assume that. Yes.
Special teams, no big mistakes, but no big plays. I mean, sure, the long field goal, but, you know, we needed an onside kick. We needed special teams, needed an onside kick. Could not get it. Let's see. 38-30, the Redskins lose to the Minnesota Vikings to fall to 4-5. We're going to preview next week's game. Maybe talk a little bit of Thanksgiving game. See what's going on with that.
Mm.
What's coming up? That game is, what, a week and a half away from now? And so they play Sunday, and then they play and so a week and a half from now. Two games in the next 2 weeks. It's going to be fun, right?
Good thing we got Captain Kirk, man. That's the only thing that'll keep us in.
Yes.
He's going to have his chance to prove it.
And we'll talk about that coming up on the Federal Football Report. It's the final segment of this episode of the Federal Football Report, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website, federalnewsradio.com. Go ahead, Kevin.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure, why not? I mean, that's...
You know, I wasn't feeling well earlier, so I ordered some soup. I ordered some decent soup from an unnamed Chinese restaurant.
All right.
And I had a fortune cookie, and I said, it would be kind of cool to read this on the air, right?
So
I just
You know what? That's a good idea.
I'm going to see what this thing says. I haven't, you know, I don't remember the last fortune cookie I've had. Let's see what this is. I'm not going to eat a cookie anyway, because, you know, if I was hungry, I'd wear this cookie out.
Ah.
But this one says, your winsome smile will be your sure protection.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
All right. So make sure you walk around with a smile.
Yeah, I would take it like, you know.
Let it protect you.
Let's say I'm walking out to the car after the show. It's dark here, right, where we're recording. And a guy, even though we're right across the street from a police station, the guy runs up to me with a weapon and says, hand me your money. I flash my winsome smile at him.
Right, and it should protect you.
That should do it. Right?
There you go. Well, you should feel safe and protected tonight.
If that's the one, I want my money back for that soup.
Exactly.
Either that, or check this out. I start smiling at the guy, and he'll say, oh, that's just crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Let me get out of here, right?
Exactly.
Either way, right?
Either way, you win.
We're going to be smiling. Yep, either way, I win. So I'm not, hey, look, I'm good.
Well, there you go. I like that. Opening a fortune cookie.
We should do that almost every week, right?
Just order Chinese and open up a fortune cookie, see what it says, and if it applies to what's going on in our lives. Yeah, so the Redskins dropped to 4-5. Taking a look at the schedule. Coming up this week, they've got the New Orleans Saints. They're in New Orleans to take on the Saints. The Saints improved to 7-2 after a 47-10 win over the Buffalo Bills.
Hold on. I looked at the back of the fortune cookie.
Uh-oh.
And it said, how about another fortune? And it gives a website.
Really? So you can just go to a website and read these fortunes.
Yeah, you just get the
doesn't that make the fortune cookie itself, like the paper inside of the fortune?
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
If you're gonna do that,
unless they have the website sponsored.
Oh yeah, that,
and they
that
want to draw
be,
people to the website.
That could
to click
be,
on
yeah, this. Right. You're just like muscling out the cookie manufacturer, though. Right. Man. Yeah. I don't understand what's wrong with people, man.
Would you go to a website to see your fortune? I mean, isn't it just better with the cookie? Because you just kind of open it up, and
that's the whole thing, man. Because every once in a while you have to eat that cookie, right?
But every once in a while you do.
But, so, hey, anyway, that's the way we think. You know,
the Redskins travel to New Orleans to take on the Saints this coming Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern kickoff time. 7-2 on the year for the Saints after a 47-10 win over the Buffalo Bills. Let's talk about this. Kevin, the Saints having a quietly good year.
A scary good year. They've quietly won 7 in a row. They started out 0-2, and all of a sudden
they haven't lost a game since.
They haven't lost a game since. And like I mentioned earlier, at one point they were up by at least 27 points, and Drew Brees only thrown for like a $190, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I remember you had brought that up while we were watching while the game was going on.
Yeah, he's pretty much carried this team ever since he left San Diego to come there, mm-hmm. and he's
what a great move for him, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
To get out of San Diego and come to the Saints, won a Super Bowl.
Sometimes a quarterback just has to
Hall
leave.
Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, he just has to leave where he is, man. Maybe it's the surroundings or something. He's just not appreciated. Sometimes you just got to...
He got hooked up with Sean Payton. I don't know. Is it Sean Payton who helped Breeze, or is it Breeze making Sean Payton look like a genius? Or is it a mix of the two?
Yeah, it's probably a mix of the two. But, you know, if there's any other quarterback who just maybe a change of scenery might do it.
Are you... getting subliminal messages?
I'm just saying, man.
So anyway, keys to winning this game. You brought up a good point, though, too. You said as soon as they get rid of Adrian Peterson, all of a sudden they want to run the ball.
I don't understand it, right? It's like I said, they had a 10-play drive, no passes, right? It's an amazing thing. I'm an Adrian Peterson fan. I wish him success in with the Cardinals. But, hopefully this run game will stop. What do you want? Do you want them to be able to run, or do you want Drew Brees to unleash on you, right?
Right. What is it? The lesser of two evils. Which one do you want? Do you want Mark Ingram running up and down the field on you? Do you want Drew Brees,
Yeah, because if it's late in the game and they're trying to run out of the clock and the coach sends in the pass and play, Drew Brees has the ability to check out of it, right? You know, he won't just throw it up for grabs like we saw Case Keenum do, right?
There were some bad passes by Case. And the thing is that in the first half, a lot of them went his way. And you were saying, those aren't going to go his way all game. And they didn't.
He
threw two of them to DJ.
Almost keenumed them out of the game.
But
it just didn't work out.
Just did not work out. So what needs to happen this week against the Saints in order to win? Because you got that, then you've got a game against the Giants coming up on Thanksgiving night.
They got to decide who their running back is. Now, we don't know at the taping of this, the status of Big Rob, Fat Rob. P. Ryan, we saw them use him in a couple of different ways, a couple of swing passes, getting him out in the space, letting him go one-on-one against a guy, inflicting some pain. But these offensive linemen have not been coached with the style, with the influence blocking style, the zone read blocking. They have not been coached to manhandle, except for Sheriff. It seems to come naturally for him, right? With these offensive line. I posed a question earlier, before the game. A lot of the guys who didn't dress, offensive linemen who didn't dress last week, dressed this week.
Right.
And I'm wondering, are we forcing these guys back too early?
A little too early.
On a team that's just 500, right? If this was the playoff run and all hands on that cold red or something like that.
Especially after a win last week when four of them weren't playing.
Right. My thought would be you would dress them, but just wait until like somebody else gets hurt before you play them.
Right.
But they were shutting guys in and out and stuff. There's some confusion here.
Maybe it was a little too early, huh?
Too early. So, that's what they got to do. They got to establish who their horses are and realize that you got to stick with them. You just got to stick with your horses.
And this is not the type of game where the defense can slack off like they did against the Vikings.
No.
You got to come ready and prepared to play the entire length of the game.
Yeah. I'm thinking this has to be a shootout. You're going to have to prepare for a shootout. Because Drew Brees is going to show no mercy. Anytime he sees an opening, he's going to take it. So you just got to. I'm looking at a 38-35 game here.
Going to be a busy 2 weeks, ladies and gentlemen. You got the Saints coming up. Then Thanksgiving night, we'll have a special Thanksgiving show next week. We've got the Giants.
Remember last Thanksgiving we recorded, like we took it, what was happening at our house.
Yeah. And that was kind of fun, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we should do that again. Maybe we should do that again this year.
Yeah, but I don't want all those people come over my house.
How do you feel about the late Thanksgiving game? Maybe we'll talk about that next week. How do you feel about an 8:30 start being the late game on Thanksgiving? And then after that, you've got Dallas on the 30th. And so that's two games in less than 2 weeks. I guess three games in less than 3 weeks. And so we'll see how that all pans out.
For Burger and Gold fan, this is prime time. This is great. Mm-hmm. This is your team playing an important game on Sunday, playing a Thanksgiving nationally televised game. You want your team to be the one on national TV.
Thanksgiving night.
Mm-hmm. They're playing your arch rivals in the next game after that. So we should be excited.
Will Eli Manning be the starter? We should ask Rodney. We should have Rodney record what happens at his house. Because he's a Giants fan.
Yes, he is. Will they start Eli Manning? That's a good question. At that point, I think they have to. I think that it's too early in the season to sit them down because you might want to, check the performance of some other guys, but you don't want. I mean, how do you judge the performance of a receiver with a third string quarterback?
Right.
You can't. We got to see how these guys play with Eli. So let's not, Plus, we've always said the Burgundy and Gold is good for what ails you, right? Eli might say, hey, bench me every other game. I got to play against the
Redskins. 38-30, the Washington Redskins fall to the Minnesota Vikings 4-5 on the season. I'm telling you, last week, all the talk was turning point for Kurt's career, turning point. Look at this statement game. I wonder what they're going to say this week.
We'll see. Yeah, I know what they're going to say. Oh, man, I got tripped.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's it.
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.